week after a settlement was reached in the landmark antitrust case between the US government and Microsoft, the judge in the suit has formally laid out how the case would proceed now that it has splintered into two tracks. One path is for the US states that want to continue the litigation. The other ties up the years of dispute between the government, half of the states involved in the case, and the software maker. In a filing submitted on Thursday in the United States District Court for the District of Columbia, the U.S. District Judge Colleen Colacotelli ordered that the U.S. government's settlement with Microsoft would follow down track one. The government gets until November the 15th to file a proposed final judgment and competitive impact statement in the case. The proposed judgment would then be put open to a 60-day public comment period after being published in the New York Times, Washington Post, and San Jose Mercury News no later than November the 15th. In order to ensure broad public exposure, the advertisements will appear in these publications some 7 times in 2 weeks, and the public can submit written comments to a designated official of the U.S. Department of Justice Antitrust Division, the order said. After the close of the public comment period, the court will hold a status conference addressing whether there is a need to hold a hearing on the proposed final judgment. Meanwhile, the U.S. states that have decided to continue their battle will gallop down track two, informing the court of their appointed legal representatives no later than Friday, and then filing a joint statement addressing remaining concerns in the case. After receipt of the report, Colacotelli said that she will set a status conference in anticipation of making a remedial judgment. States following the second track have until February the 22nd, 2002, to file any and all motions in the new leg of the case. The State Attorneys General of California, Wisconsin, Iowa, Connecticut, Kansas, Maryland, Florida, Massachusetts, West Virginia, and the District of Columbia oppose settlement. In a decision protecting Internet free speech rights, a San Jose federal judge ruled on Wednesday that the US-based websites operated by Yahoo are not subject to French laws banning the sale of Nazi-related items. The closely watched case is one of the first US tests of what, if any, enforcement powers foreign countries may exercise over content on US-based websites that can be accessed globally. U.S. District Judge Jeremy Fogel said that Yahoo was protected by the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. Last year, a French court found that Yahoo had violated French anti-hate laws when it allowed online auction listings of about 1,000 Nazi-related items, including copies of Adolf Hitler's Mein Kampf and materials alleging gas chambers of the Holocaust did not exist. Because French citizens could access those materials, the court ordered Yahoo to eliminate French users' access to any Nazi objects for sale and or be fined $13,000 a day for non-compliance. Seeking to block the order's enforcement and establish First Amendment protections, Yahoo filed suit in U.S. Federal District Court in December against the two human rights groups that had brought the case in Paris. U.S. regulators voted last Thursday to gradually phase out limits on how much of the airwaves mobile telephone companies can hold in a single market, a move that could spark consolidation in the industry. The Federal Communications Commission voted 3-1 to lift the spectrum cap in urban markets to 5 MHz immediately and eliminate it completely on January 1, 2003. Oftel's August 2001 report on UK consumer usage of mobile telephony finds that 73% of UK adults have mobile phones and 71% pay for usage on pay-as-you-go programmes. Prepaid packages for mobile phone usage have been the most popular mobile package in the UK for a year, growing from a 64% usage rate in August 2000. On the other hand, the percentage of mobile phone owners using monthly or contract subscriptions has declined between August 2000 and August 2001 from 26% to 23%. German telecoms regulator RegTP may investigate Deutsche Telekom's T-Online unit for potentially anti-competitive and abusive pricing of internet services for end customers. Deutsche Telekom is already under investigation for its wholesale flat rate, as competitors have complained that it is too high for them to offer a flat retail rate. New Zealand's biggest internet retailer, Flying Pig, is offline. Flying Pig owners Wilson Neal said on Wednesday customers who do not receive ordered goods will not be billed after the online retailer was shut down on Tuesday. That follows a public scrap with its biggest creditor, Christchurch-based software company eStar Online. Wilson Neal spokesman Phil Vosper said no one would be billed for goods that did not leave the warehouse. The closure of the Flying Pig website comes just a fortnight short of its second birthday. eStar had been threatening to stop hosting the site if it did not receive a guarantee of payment. eStar claims that it is owed more than 120,000 New Zealand dollars for its services. It also said it has not yet received 10 million Wilson Neal shares that it was promised in lieu of payment previously. Other creditors are believed to be owed more than $200,000 by the e-tailer. Mr. Vosper said it was too early to say whether Flying Pig might be placed into receivership. He said a decision had yet to be made on the dispute with eStar, though the ball was in its court. eStar has offered to buy the business from Wilson Neal, despite relations between the two companies worsening. A statement issued by Vosper claimed that the company has been in dispute with eStar for some time over its services and indicated it was considering legal action. A prominent civil liberties group is jumping to the aid of Music City, a popular file-swapping company confronting a lawsuit from the Hollywood and record industry that could blaze new, influential legal ground. The Electronic Frontier Foundation, EFF, which has represented hackers, cryptographers and computer scientists in its push for digital rights, agreed to defend Music City against copyright infringement charges by movie studios and record labels. It's helping build a high-powered team of lawyers to show that this case is different from Napster's. On its face, this lawsuit resembles the one that has silenced Napster since July, but the EFF and other supporters argue that the suit, aimed at the popular Music City, Grokster and Kazaa networks, represents a clear instance of the entertainment industry trying to shut down a technology that has many uses, something the US Supreme Court has stopped before. Software developers are watching the Music City suit with more trepidation than shown at the high-profile Napster case. It does not operate a network in the same way that Napster did before it stopped file swapping in July. But Music City supports advertisement-supported software that helps people create a network on their own. Thus, the suit raises the question of software distributors' liability. Airy Networks says it plans to relaunch the defunct Ricochet wireless internet service in the Bay Area in Denver early next year, delighting thousands of fans who complained they couldn't find a good alternative after Ricochet shut down 3 months ago. When it shut down in August, Ricochet had roughly 51,000 customers, more than half of whom live in the Bay Area. Many fans remain intensely loyal, saying the service was more reliable and many times faster than any other wireless internet service, letting them work untethered to a phone line. But Airy, a privately held internet service provider in Denver that took over Ricochet earlier this month, still needs to prove it can make the service financially viable. Metricom, a San Jose company that used to operate the Ricochet service, blew through roughly $1 billion rolling out the service in 17 months before filing for bankruptcy in August. In the first quarter alone, Metricom posted a $172 million loss on just $3.5 million in revenue. Forrester Research says that regardless of whether an economic recovery is around the corner or a couple of years off, e-commerce will continue to grow. The company's survey of nearly 9,000 online consumers on their buying habits revealed that e-commerce will grow through the downturn because the high income that most web buyers have has thus far insulated them from the economic turmoil in the United States. And auction giant eBay, meanwhile, released its own surveys showing that this year's overall holiday spending plans have not been seriously affected by the current economic conditions. The bad news, though, is from the National Consumers League Internet Fraud Watch, which said that in the first 10 months of this year, consumers have reported losses totaling $4.3 million, or $636 per person, in internet fraud, and auction scams continue to lead the list. Irish internet users are hoping for nationwide support this week when they protest against the lack of unmetered dial-up and broadband net access and the impact it's having on the Irish economy. The Ireland Offline Blackout is scheduled to take place this Friday, November the 16th. The organisers hope that consumers and businesses alike will make their voices heard by boycotting the phone and internet. Ireland Offline, a well-organised and increasingly vocal pressure group, believes this internet strike is essential to draw attention to the lack of affordable dial-up and broadband service in Ireland. It claims that unless something is done now, the country risks falling behind in an increasingly competitive global marketplace. Despite the lack of progress so far, the lobbyists believe that Ireland can be kick-started back into competitiveness, but only if there is a commitment to make these products and services available. Users of British Telecom's BT Open World service have slammed the company's ADSL service as substandard, citing low speeds as the basis for a petition of complaint. In light of the complaints, telco watchdog Ofttel may even get involved. They say they have been made aware of problems with BT Open World and are monitoring the situation. The BBC is pressing ahead with the launch of a controversial online news service aimed at international users, which it hopes will eventually be funded by advertising. The high-profile news site is to be developed by the new Global News Division that brings together commercial channel BBC World and the government-funded World Service under a single umbrella organisation. It's understood that once the technology exists to target advertisements only at overseas viewers, the BBC is keen to press ahead with the plan as a way of generating revenue. Napster is gone, but a new network of controversial alternatives is quickly becoming even more popular, according to a report released last week. People using the decentralized online file-sharing network, based on a program called Kazaa, downloaded more than 1.81 billion free music and movie files in October, according to WebNoise Incorporated of Cambridge, Massachusetts. And while Napster at its peak last February had as many as 1.57 million members logged on at any one time, the fast-track file-sharing network formed by users of Kazaa, Morpheus, and Grokster already have 1.3 million users last month. The government of the United Arab Emirates in Dubai went online on the 29th of October in what was billed as the first project of its kind in the Arab world. Dubai's Crown Prince, Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum, inaugurated the Dubai government portal linking various departments of the local government of Dubai together to provide services online to some 850,000 residents and foreigners living in the Gulf's trading hub. And finally, new research shows that only 1% of online consumers have used ad-blocking software. The research from Forrester also found that 75% of online consumers have not even heard of ad-blocking software such as AdSubtract or JunkBusters Proxy. And that's News Briefs for another week.